This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
I'm John Batts with Joseph Sternberg. We're in Germany now, and we've discovered a treasure thanks to a letter written in response to Joe's column, Germany Finally Says the F-Word, Fracking, and his colleague, Walter Russell Mead, Germans See Affluence Ahead. The discovery is this. It's amazing. Written by an eager man who is part of a company that does assessment of where the natural gas is. His name is Mark Ammerman. It's published in the Wall Street Journal. My firm's geologists had researched European shale resources. We estimated that with fracking, Europe had about 700 trillion cubic feet of recoverable natural gas, enough to power the continent for 50 years. I was asked to present this information to the energy security policy leadership of the German parliament in April 2006. At the time, Germany was already planning to expand its gas pipelines to Russia. That natural gas cost around $17 per million British thermal units compared with the cost of $3 in America. I asked the leaders to imagine the positive effects of being able to power the economy from local resources in that price range. Their faces showed stunned disbelief. As one of their PhDs explained in German, a Halliburton truck fracking on a German hill? Never, never. Joe, is this widely known in Europe that they've got the energy to power themselves for 50 years and they ignore this, or have they forgotten?
I think that a lot of people have forgotten because the public really has not been educated about this issue. I think that certainly there was a big environmental campaign against fracking when that technology was first developed in the U.S. and it became clear that there would be shale reserves in Europe. And note that we're not just talking about shale gas in Germany. There is shale gas all over the place. There's also shale gas in the United Kingdom, although Rishi Sunak is now promising not to allow anyone to drill that. And I think that there were two environmental complaints. One was that people didn't want more natural gas coming on the market. I think that Greens are absolutely convinced that fossil fuels are the energy of yesterday, and that the only energy that we should be investing in are renewables, even if we know that they can't reliably power industrial economies. And then on top of that, you had this tendency to kind of gin up concern about the seismological dangers of fracking or groundwater issues to do with some of the chemicals involved in it, much of which is no longer the case with the most modern fracking technologies. But that kind of political residue has remained, and coats all of these debates. And so I think that that side of the discussion has totally obscured the fact that there are these huge resources that would be available there, to be tapped. Because I think that politicians are so far concluding that there just isn't a lot of profit in proposing that you tap them.
However, Joe, irony is always welcome in this conversation. They import liquefied natural gas from America. And where do we get our liquefied natural gas bounty? From fracking. So it's okay to take American fracking, but it's not okay to do our own. That's upside down, Joe. That's not a business model that works. And Europe's okay with that?
Yes. I mean, that's one of the perverse things about this, that they want to accept as much fracked gas as they can get from the U.S., but they don't want to frack their own supplies. And I think that it would make a lot of sense for them to do that because, I mean, certainly you can't imagine a geostrategic conflict with the U.S. that would cause us to cut off the gas. But the more of their own gas that they bring to market, the more of an effect on global prices that that can potentially have, it would be good for them, and it would be good for them to develop those industries and jobs too, but they just don't want to.
They will import from China, where they power their electricity generating plants with dirty coal. They will import from the U.S., where we send them liquefied natural gas from our fracking, but they won't do it for themselves. Okay, fine. Europe is not supposed to be easy. Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He writes political economics. He's in London. We're headed to the story of inflation, which is in Europe and in the U.S., and the Federal Reserve is meeting. The ECB will move soon enough. What is to be done? I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.